every child, every family, everyone. Barack Obama, we thank you.
Yeah, we thank you. That's something that you wouldn't hear on CKLN. Does anybody say anything bad about Barack Obama? I wonder how long that'll take.
I wondered if the first promo said role model, blah, blah, blah. They were talking about Obama?
Yeah, they're these kids that that sing these songs. I don't know whether I've actually got it here, the whole thing. I hope I saved it. They sing, you know, it's like this. They get together and do... Yeah, and things like...
Every child, every family, everyone. Barack Obama, we thank you.
And...
Amazing. That's amazing.
You have given us strength, courage, and hope. And for that, we all say thank you.
My God, imagine being a teacher and you have to teach the kids this stuff. It must be horrible to be a functioning, job-possessing human being. I mean, a ridiculous world you got to live in.
Well, I think that these kids were really prompted by their teacher who, this is a big thing for him. It's a big event for him to have these kids be invited to go to the inauguration because they were on CNN before the election, talking about how important it is to vote, whether you're left or right. You know, they don't take any particular position politically. They're just all over the map, like Obama, I guess. And you're on the... What?
Are they Canadians?
No, they're Americans. You're on the air.
Hello, Greg. Great to like your perspective on things. But however, I question, what is it you don't like about Obama? I would think that with such a historic... time we have experienced with the first Afro-American black president.
Yeah, well, maybe
an Afro-American,
a very intellectual individual.
Point.
You being a black man, I can't.
I'm a black man.
You're not.
I'm a black man.
Okay, I can't understand why is it you're trying to put a negative light on this
isn't
individual?
Isn't it interesting? Did you actually think I was a black man?
Well. I get it. I don't know what you look like, but you stumped me there, as I said. But I get the impression you are. You are mixed, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay. All
no,
right.
I'm not. This station engenders the idea that no white people are actually on it. Now there are plenty of white people here. Believe me, there are plenty of white people here, and there are lots of black people. There aren't very many Asian people that I know of. It's very very polarized. I would say. That isn't to say that I think that there's hostility necessarily between the whites and the blacks here. That isn't really the major bone of contention.
Taking things out of context, regardless of race, whether you're white, black, green, yellow. The point is,
how can you
Obama?
This is a whole discussion about race. You're saying that I should get excited about a black man being president. I mean, in theory, that was a compelling idea before. You'd see it in movies and you go, wow, there's a black man who's president. Or you'd see a Star Trek movie and you'd see the commander of some other ship other than the Enterprise and he'd be a black man. And you go, wow, in the future, a black man could actually do the job of William Shatner. But in political terms, yes, it was something that we looked at and or that was fictionalized in movies, and then we've seen it actually happen. And so it's amazing. But the thing is, you see Barack Obama in working, and he's actually no different. He says things that are no different than Bush. I'll give you an example right here. Here's Obama at the State Department, and he's talking about Hamas and Israel. That's whole situation. Now, you know the position of Bush. Tell me what the position of Bush was about Hamas and Israel.
Well, first of all, Bush is one of the most idiotic presidents in history. He had this sort of a bully mentality. I think Obama, Barack, you have to give the guy a chance. I think he's a more rational, he's a more reasonable, and he's a more realistic and humanistic individual in his thinking. I do realize that the U.S. in terms of their political agenda, they have a protocol. But I think Obama has what separates Obama from other presidents. He has a mind of his own.
Oh.
He sets aside personal prejudices.
Okay, all
and
right.
He looks at the issues. He does not agree with what was happening with Palestine and what the Israelis were doing. It's totally wrong.
All right, no. You're wrong about that. Here, listen to his words. This is Obama. Let's examine Obama and what he says, because that's what you're saying. You're saying
you're
that. You're saying that Obama is different. Obama is more rational. Obama is he's more thoughtful, and he's a good speaker, and he's more educated. Here is Barack Obama.
Can tolerate such danger to its people, nor should the international community, and neither should the Palestinian people themselves, whose interests are only set back by acts of terror. To be a genuine party to peace, the quartet has made it clear that Hamas must meet clear conditions, recognize Israel's right to exist, renounce violence, and abide by past agreements.
Does that sound any different than Bush?
Well, no, but he's taking a sort of what should I say? He's maintaining an equilibrium. He's requesting both parties to come to the table with mutual respect, right? Hamas cease shooting Israel to the Israelis. And at the same time, he's saying to Israel, hey, you have to recognize that the PLO has a place in that community.
He never mentions
they have a right to exist.
He never...
Israel. I think he's trying to maintain a balance. And I think he's coming things. He's taking a rational rather than an irrational view as Bush did.
All right, let's...
Bush was a very what should I say? He had one-tunnel vision.
Okay, let's hear...
He was blinded. So it's my way or no way.
All right, now
that
listen...
That was Bush mentality.
Listen
Obama
to this...
Obama is the total opposite.
Listen to
you
this...
You have to give the guy a chance.
Listen to this next... listen to this next clip. I want you to listen to it carefully. Please, when it's finished, tell me what the demands on Hamas are. And remember, Hamas is part of the government in this Palestinian area,
occupied area.
And what are the demands that Obama is placing on Israel? We'll listen to, this is, again, Barack Obama just recently at the State Department.
Going forward, the outline for a durable ceasefire is clear. Hamas must end its rocket fire. Israel will complete the withdrawal of its forces from Gaza. The United States and our partners will support a credible anti-smuggling and interdiction regime so that Hamas cannot rearm. Yesterday, I spoke to President Mubarak and expressed my appreciation for the important role that Egypt played in achieving a ceasefire. And we look forward to Egypt's continued leadership and partnership in laying a foundation for a broader peace through a commitment to end smuggling from within its borders. Just as the terror of rocket fire aimed at innocent Israelis is intolerable, so too is a future without hope for the Palestinians. I was deeply concerned by the loss of Palestinian and Israeli life in recent days and by the substantial suffering and humanitarian needs in Gaza. Our hearts go out to Palestinian civilians who are in need of immediate food, clean water, and basic medical care, and who have faced suffocating poverty for far too long. Now, we must extend a hand of opportunity to those who seek peace. As part of a lasting ceasefire, Gaza's border crossings should be open to allow the flow of aid and commerce with an appropriate monitoring regime with the International and Palestinian Authority participating. Relief efforts must be able to reach innocent Palestinians who depend on them. The United States will fully support an international donors conference to seek short-term humanitarian assistance and long-term reconstruction for the Palestinian economy. This assistance will be provided to and guided by the Palestinian Authority. Lasting peace requires more than a long ceasefire, and that's why I will sustain an active commitment to seek two states living side by side in peace and security.
All right.
Now, Greg, listen to... Now, Greg, there is a man of that is being rational. I mean, you listen to that speech, and I'm saying here is a guy who is trying to be to be the middle of the road and looking at the issues on both sides, looking at the issues. He's condemning both parties for the for what's going on.
No, he isn't. No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
What we call collateral damage.
No, he didn't. He didn't condemn Israel at all. He just said they had to leave, and he didn't put they basically bombed areas or maybe whole areas of Gaza back into the Stone Age,
which was wrong.
Yeah, but the thing is, he didn't say that. He didn't say that, and nor did he say that they would have to pay for any reparations. And how
many? You see, too, Greg, you have to realize that Obama has inherited a lot of sensitive issues, and he has to walk on tread on light waters and use a lot of diplomacy.
Why?
In other words, he has to, because like you're looking at innocent people being killed in an area where you have you seem to have two parties that have been sort of pigheading it in your positions.
Do you agree with Obama? And Obama has exactly the same position as George W. Bush and other presidents before him. Do you agree hold on, listen, wait for my question.
Yep.
Do you agree with the two-state solution?
Look,
do you agree with it? Yes or no? Yes or no?
I agree that Obama
no,
is taking a different position.
No, I'm asking.
No, he doesn't have the same position as George Bush.
Of course he does.
He has clearly stated, listen, man, he's a thinker. He thinks on his own.
Oh, you're not answering my question. You're refusing to answer my question.
Yeah,
I think it's a simple one.
Okay,
it's a simple
question
one.
Again, Greg.
Do you, Obama states in this speech here that he made at the State Department just a couple of days ago, and as he has done before, and as presidents have all done before, without exception, that since 1948, from a certain point, they said that there should be a two-state solution. In other words, there should be an Israeli state and a Palestinian state. Now, at the moment, there is an Israeli state which is being armed by the United States. They don't need any smuggling tunnels. The United States ships the weapons straight to Israel, pays for it.
That's right.
Out of their treasury, and Obama is complaining about some arms being shipped in underground tunnels now, and a few rockets. Now, okay, so that's happening. The thing is, but Israel is being afforded nuclear weapons. Basically, he's talking about a two-state solution, which isn't here yet. There isn't really a recognized by the quote unquote international community a Palestinian state that is its own country. So he's saying in the future, at some future point, he's saying that a two-state solution. Now, understanding, if you do understand the history of this, the formation of the State of Israel, and I want a yes or no answer on this, do you personally believe that a two-state solution is the preferable answer to the question about the coexistence of the people in this area?
Yeah, you have to have a two-state two-state situation there. But I think
why? Give me a reason now.
The PLOs, they have a right to exist, and so does Israel. They both have a right to exist.
Why does Israel have you're saying Israel has a right to exist. What do you mean Israel has a right to exist? What does that actually mean? You mean do you understand what Israel is? Do you know when it was formed? When was Israel formed?
I can't recall, Greg.
Okay, I'm gonna cut you off there. I'm gonna go into this because the caller is obviously operating on
He's not a thinker.
He wants Obama to do his thinking for him, obviously.
That's right.
Because
exactly.
He doesn't know that the State of Israel was set up in 1948 after Menachem Begin and a group of terrorists essentially targeted
the British
and after the World War II, and they because of the Nazi atrocities, supposedly
the Nazis helped them target the British.
There was a caller there, and they're gone.
Well, you went too far, Greg. You're actually thinking.
So I mean, this is the thing, is that we have been indoctrinated to believe that there is only one solution in the Middle East, and that is a two-state solution. And I remember when the Good Morning You Moron man, who made an appearance last week, phoned in many, many years ago, and he said, do you think that Israel has a right to, or he put it, do you believe in the existence of the state of Israel? And I don't think I'd ever been posed with that question before. And then all of the sort of the mind control, I had to wrestle with the mind control in my head that I'd been indoctrinated with. And finally, I said, no, I don't believe in it. Because it's... And that isn't to say that I'm, against Jews. It's that...
And you're Jewish yourself?
Yes, I have a Jewish background myself. It's just that there's... I don't see why in this country, why we're always touting multiculturalism, why is it that in that area of the world, why can't it be what Palestine with Jews and Arabs interacting? What's the big deal? I mean, it was going on before.
Yeah.
It's just been fossilized. And there it is. It's the... It's Dave One.
Yeah.
It's the original Dave.
The original Dave. I was going to say the same thing. I don't agree with that caller. I believe in a one-state solution. Palestinians and Israelis should live together. And it's always about, the Israelis, they have to defend themselves, the Israeli government. Well, what about the Palestinians? They've been bombed into the Stone Age. You know, it's like so, it's disgusting.
There is a website that I found last night, and it's called One State. It's about One State Solution. It's so people are coming out, and it says it's here.
It's not going to be any different. I mean, you may do these small changes. That's all fine and well. But the thing is, when it comes to the Middle East, he's going to be on the side of Israel. Hamas is a terrorist organization, but people forget they were elected by the Palestinians.
Well, what I don't understand is, irrespective of the various positions, how does the United States think that they're a fair arbiter in this arrangement with them arming Israel? How do they think that they can be how can they be sending envoys and doing diplomacy? Yeah. How are they even involved? They're not. They're a biased party right off the bat.
Actually, I went to hear Jeff Halper speak at Ryerson about house demolitions, and it was really interesting how he explained since 1948 up until now how the Palestinians have had less and less land, and the Israelis building more and more around, and it's really disgusting. I mean, the occupation needs to be ended, and until the Israeli government sits down and says, yes, we're going to try to end the occupation, dismantle the wall, and get rid of the checkpoints, nothing's really going to change.
No, this is just a genocide against those people eventually. It's a long, slow march.
It's interesting, too. Jeff Halper was saying that it's like an experiment they're using on the Gazans that they want to probably use on other countries, but they're using the Palestinians as guinea pigs, and was really interesting. He says we're all Gazans, you know. He was saying that he brought the first boat into Gaza to help the people, I don't know.
Well, thanks a lot, Dave.
Yeah.
You know what? I was just thinking as Dave was talking, as I was zoning out, Bob.
Yes, I was zoned out too.
As I was zoning out there during his whole piece. I was thinking, I'm the first black host of the International Connection. That's nice. That's nice. Just like Bill Clinton was the first black president, I'm the first black host of the International Connection because that other caller thought I was mixed race. Isn't that fantastic?
You work on a black station.
Yeah, it's super. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Bob. It's Dave.
It's Dave,
hey,
too.
Great to hear back from you.
Hi, Dave One.
he's gone, but he's there.
Oh,
he's listening,
Dave.
Yeah. I mean, Dave One says that he I spoke with Dave One on the phone this past week in the off hours, and he says that I said to him, did you hear that bit on this past week's show? And I referred to something. He says, oh, no, I tuned over to the CBC. I had to hear what Michael Enright was going to say.
Oh, that's bad, Dave.
He's probably over on the CBC and isn't hearing you at all right now.
Hey, do you guys know what you get if you drink alcohol while you're pregnant?
No.
You get George W. Bush.
What say?
If you drink alcohol when you're pregnant, that, what do you get? You get George W. Bush. Did that happen?
Well, of course it did, but I don't like the way you told my joke, Greg.
No, sorry. I'm not good at telling jokes.
Did you hear about the 22-day invasion? They call it a war, but it was an invasion, Greg.
Yeah, that was a 22-day Gaza bombing, yeah.
I'm surprised you missed that, Greg.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I had another 22.
I was just going to point out to Dave 1 that it was the 22% of the original UN-mandated Israel territory that they stole extra 22%.
Yeah. There are a lot of 22s involved here.
Wow, I didn't know that. 22-day war. Interesting. Very. Thanks, Dave, too.
Okay, I got to go. My dinner's ready. I had it baking for 22 minutes. Okay, bye.
This hour is 22 minutes.
Yeah, there's so many that the 22
you know
thing.
That the news show is always 22 minutes?
Yeah.
The old CBC thing.
Yeah, this hour is 22 minutes.
No, the Peter Mansbridge's show used to be 22 minutes. The news for 40 years was 22 minutes, cutting out the commercials.
Is it down to 21 now?
No, it's an hour show, isn't it?
Right.
Is it an hour now? No, you don't know, do you?
It's hardly an hour. It's very dull. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Not
a happy caller.
This sounds ominous.
Yeah,
no,
go ahead.
I'm just saying, when you have someone call to make a contribution to the show, why do you need to get personal?
About what?
About the person, and you know, like throwing abusive language or what?
What abusive language? What are you talking about? Give me an example.
The previous caller, he was calling, and you asked him, like, when was the formation of Israel? And he said, like, he didn't have the information. And, you know, there was a whole bunch of stuff followed. Why is that necessary?
What did I say?
You said, well, this guy is obviously not up to scratch, you know.
No, I didn't say that. I said he's letting Obama do his thinking for him.
Like that.
Well, the thing is, he's willing to discuss something that he has limited knowledge of. At that point, removed the caller from the air was because I didn't think that really I'd be able to engage with him about this because he may as well sit back and listen. Because in this particular case, I know a little bit more about the situation than he does. So it's, you know, otherwise I'll be having him on just finding out what he doesn't know. And then that's pointless.
Emotional. The totally emotional response doesn't think in terms of Obama.
So I felt that and I just said that's what I was. I think I was making a more general statement that people are using these figures, media figures.
Yeah.
To do their thinking for them, he's saying he doesn't even he doesn't even know how Israel was formed,
and yet he's
making a decision about. I mean, I should have given him the yes or no or I don't know. I guess I should have given him three different choices there. But the thing is that he only thinks that there should be a two-state solution, I think, because he's heard Obama say it.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you need to know. You have to, you know when Israel was formed. To make a decision like that.
Oh, yes, you do,
because you have to be informed. You have to understand what went on.
Yeah, but you can look at what's happening in the preceding years to know that this idea of a single unitary state would never work.
Why?
Because it wouldn't.
Well, that's what they probably said about the United States, and it doesn't work. But, what does work? Nothing works. But it's done. Lots of things that don't work are done. Lots of things that don't work are carry on every day. This whole economy doesn't work, but it carries on.
Yeah, anyway, all I really wanted to call and say was just, you know, be a little more careful because people...
You're just so critical. Is there anything good about the program?
It seems to me that you guys, like, if you're not hearing what you want to hear...
Yeah.
And everyone is not going to call, like, your Daves and they're all up, you know, they're agreeing with you, everything you say, right? You're going to get...
I gave that caller plenty of time on the air, and basically he even after he wouldn't really answer my question. I just had a civil question for him, and he's unable to answer. It's all about give the guy a chance. The thing is that we've boiled it down, or not we had nothing to do with this. But in the United States, there are 300 million people, 330 million people, and they boiled it down to two people. to run. One of them was McCain and one of them was Obama. And supposedly, if you give our this democracy theory a chance, which I don't, I think it's been given plenty of a chance to work and it doesn't, you're supposed to say that Obama and McCain were the best people to run the country that
first
they could
of all,
find,
they
that
were.
Put themselves forward. And then it's Obama. And then somehow this guy comes forward and says, well, we've got to give him a chance. Well, all right, we're giving him a chance. But the thing is that what are we going to see? We know what we're going to see. We're just going to see a repeat because you look at the people around him. It looks like a trip back to the 90s with George Mitchell and Richard Holbrook and Hillary Clinton and Madeleine Albright will be showing up next. And it's all the same stuff with
know,
just a
agree,
different figurehead.
I agree with you, but I agree with the caller, too, that you have to at least, I mean, Obama, he sounds a little different, and you just give him a little time to see if it's going to shape up any different.
What if I'd said in 2000, what if I'd gone on the air here and said when Gore was running against Bush, not that I liked either of them, but what if I'd said, you know what, we've just got to give George W. Bush a chance. He says some really nice things about getting along with people and not going to other countries and telling them what to do, which he did. That's exactly what he ran on. You know,
right.
we shouldn't go to other countries. We shouldn't assume that we know more than they do. What if I'd gone on the air here and said, you know, we should give this guy a chance? Do you think I shouldn't have said, no, look, there's no chance that this guy is going to be doing good things. It's a bad, bad, bad scene. And this is even before he was elected. So would you have respected me then if I'd said that? If I'd given George Bush a chance?
Well, you can only go by someone's word before the actions kicks in, you know, and see what
they actually... No, I think you could, again, you go and look at history. You say, what is the likelihood of this person actually changing things? And what has he said prior to getting elected that would give you the impression that he would? And is it credible? And I add it all up. And frankly, Obama really hasn't said much. I mean, he said, I'm going to shut down Guantanamo Bay. Yeah, well, in a year. No discussion about what's going to happen. He makes that decision, but he doesn't make any other decisions. He's going to put a task force together. And I know all about task forces. They put a task force here to deal with us before. And I know how you can fiddle a task force, let me tell you. So I know all the political speak. I know what's going on. Obama is just a guy to make 10% of the U.S. population think that they've got a stake in plundering the world.
Well, I don't know. I just you gotta just wait and see. That's my
All right, okay. We'll wait and see. Unfortunately, I probably won't be on the air long enough to see out his
don't
term.
Worry, you'll be there.
Oh no, I won't. No, that means whether I even want to be here.
All right. Thanks.
Big news, Greg.
Yeah.
Bob Marshall just got a friend of his sent an email. Bob Marshall is listening to our show.
What?
The first International Connection host is listening. I said, have him call in.
What? What? You're on the air. You're on the air.
I just wanted to say you were doing a really good show.
Bob Marshall's frightening. Chill in Toronto.
Hey, I was going to this. I found this site last night about the one state solution. You don't hear that talked about much except here and maybe on this website that I found. And here's a quote from Alvaro de Soto, the just retired UN coordinator for the Middle East, and he retired June 13th, 2007. Here it is: if the Palestinian Authority passes into irrelevance or collapses, as it's, and he says parenthetically, as now seems likely, calls for a one-state solution to the conflict, quote, will come out of the shadows and enter the mainstream. I guess that's the quoted part. Will come out of the shadows and enter the mainstream. Ah. The time has come, this is some more writing from that site, the time has come to get together behind the only just and feasible solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It has come to be known as the one-state solution. As one observer wrote, through various ways and means, an ever-increasing number of people active in the Palestine-Israeli conflict are reaching the conclusion that ethnic separatism, the two-state solution, just Remember, it's ethnic separatism is no longer a viable possibility. If one rules out the ethnic separatist agenda, one is limited to two opposing visions, a racist one-state model based on ethnic cleansing or a non-racist one-state model based on mutually acceptable coexistence within the same state. That's what I'm for, and you are on the air.
Yeah, this is the CBC calling. We'd like to offer that gentleman his own show. Because his views are exactly in line with what we talk about on a daily basis. Is there a way we can reach him?
The fellow that was on about the two-state solution? Yes, I think we can get him. I think, Ed, please, do call him. That's a CBC calling. If you do phone in, you can have your own show. You can be the new Rex Murphy.
Apparently, he's an expert. I'm blown away by his vision and by his knowledge of the global community.
Yes.
We're all sitting here having a cappuccino and a cigar right now. Completely in awe of his brilliance.
Thanks very much. And do phone in. There it is. There's your chance. Imagine your chance to be on radio and television on the CBC. They're not offering that to me. Just let that be clear. They're offering it to the caller who phoned in, or maybe many callers who phoned in and talk about the two-state solution. That's great.
Not to Dave One.
No, I don't think. No. He's not allowed.
Apparently, he's an expert. I'm blown away by his vision and by his knowledge.
Hey, this is the replay. You're on the air. You're on the air.
Having a cappuccino and a cigar right now.
This is a repeat of the show. This is the delay.
Thanks very much. And do phone in. There it is. There's your chance.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, you moron.
Hey!
Yeah.
I knew that you'd phone in. I baited you.
Yeah, I know.
Do you believe in a two-state solution or one state, moron, man?
Okay. You said you told me about it before. The reason that you...
Warm and
oh, my goodness. Could you keep that lunatic quiet for a moment?
Okay.
Anyway, you told the other fellow before that he couldn't speak with any knowledge about the situation and that you could.
I didn't say that.
Yes,
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said that I knew when Israel was formed. I think that that's an important milestone in understanding the situation, a beginning point at least.
Well, what is your understanding of it? Let me hear it again. Maybe I heard it wrong. Oh, my goodness.
You're being grilled, Greg.
My understanding is that in 1948, the United Nations formed began the State of Israel. They formed it. They decided that this area that Britain had occupied during the World War II, because of World War II, that they handed that over basically to and made it a Jewish state, and that they were going to work out what they were going to do about the Palestinians later, if they even thought about that. And
that's a gross inaccuracy.
Okay, what is the story?
And let's try and keep the conversation civil. And it's a gross inaccuracy which is based on all the misinformation that people like you do try and perpetrate. If you look at the history of modern Israel, it started probably with the advocacy of Theodor Herzl in the 19th century, and indefinitely started with the declaration of Lord Balfour in Great Britain in 1917, at which point, after the First World War, the Middle East was divided up into all kinds of new countries. At the Treaty of Versailles at that time, countries such as Kuwait were created, countries such as Jordan were created, countries such as Saudi Arabia were created.
By Britain. By Britain. They decided.
Well, not just
you
by
can
Britain.
See how
it
important.
Wasn't just Britain.
You
it
can
wasn't
see
Britain.
How. But they were the major force there.
No,
the Kuwait
there was a
quartet. Kuwait quartet. Another quartet. They're all together. They're Zionists. You're talking about the history of Zionism. That's what you're really discussing here. It's how the Zionist viewpoint was pushed forward.
Well, it's not really Zionism, but all right, you
well,
understand.
What is
Zionist.
It? Of course,
well,
it's
Zionism
a Zionist.
Is a very nice word, and you use it as a very horrible word, but we won't go into that.
I know,
anyway,
you're a Zionist because you're a
in
Zionist.
In 1947, the UN
you
voted,
believe in racism and
you
separatism.
Do. You're a racist.
Anyway, well, I'm a racist. Oh,
yeah,
how is that?
Is what
how is that? How am I a racist? No. You've called me. I've called you a racist.
You cannot win this conversation, this debate, so you don't want to get involved in it. In 1947, the UN voted to create the State of Israel for the Jewish people and also voted to create a state for the Palestinian people. Now, that That mandate was rejected by the Arabs, who invaded Israel immediately. Furthermore, in 2000...
I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I don't blame them. It's stupid. Well, it's
why?
It's because it was a land that had people coexisting before.
Which people coexisted there before?
The Semites, whether they be religiously Jewish or religiously Muslim.
And there was a big population there before 1947, is what you're
big
suggesting.
Big population of what?
Of people, of Semites, you call them.
There were Jews and Palestinians.
What was the population?
I don't know. What was it? You tell me.
It was tiny.
Well,
There were Jews, and there were Muslims, and there were Arabs, and there were Bedouins.
Well, I've seen,
and there were a preponderance of Christians.
I've seen motion picture film from 70, 80 years ago, yeah, of Jews and Muslims walking around in Palestine. You're saying it was this place where it was just desert and no one lived there. Of course, people lived there.
The preponderance of the state of Israel was desolate desert, which was repatriated by the Israelis after 1948.
This is the white man's burden thing, huh? This is where.
Well, with the white man. Why do you have to put this defensive slant on things? Try and debate intelligently, although it's difficult for you. Stop trying to be such an anti-Semitic and pro-Israel and pro-Palestinian.
Are you saying that I'm a self-loathing Jew?
I have no idea what you are. If you're a self-loathing Jew, God help you.
Is that what you're saying?
I don't care what you are. No, you're irrelevant.
Well, you've just irrelevant. Well, why are you phoning in?
Because I'm enjoying myself. I'm not entitled to enjoy.
Sure.
Why are you doing the show? Yeah, you're not enjoying yourself? You don't enjoy squirming because you can't win a conversation which is intelligent and recognize that. You've not countered any of my points so far. I wait now for you to do so.
I counter it because it's the establishment of the state of Israel is illegal. It's illegal.
See, you can't... When people say that black is white, you can't argue with that. That's an irreligious.
All right, so you can't
thing.
Argue. So you can't argue with it. So you're in the same. You're claiming.
It's an absurd observation. It's illegal based on what legal premise?
Because it's decided by external forces. It's not allowing
it's
the people of a region.
Decided by the legally mandated authority at that time.
What was the legally mandated authority?
At that time, it was the League of Nations.
I don't think that they have any right to do this, to go into other people's countries and decide that a group of European Jews and American Jews can head there and start setting up homes.
You're a one-world government dupe.
Let's assume that you have your way, you know, and we know exactly what your way means, by the way, to have a one-state solution. By the way, I don't believe in a two-state solution either. That's the only way you and I agree.
Yeah, you want to eliminate the Arabs completely.
I want to be able to say to people...
I want Israel to live in peace!
And that's exactly what
the
Israelis say all the time.
As they bomb everybody.
The fact of the matter is there's no dance partner. These people elected Hamas. These people support Hamas. These people to this day are even more enthusiastic about their support.
Moron man. Mr. Good morning, morons man. In Canada here, I don't know what your ethnicity is or what your religion is or anything, but why is it here there are Jews and Muslims, and why aren't they killing each other?
I think only because we live in a civilized society with the Muslims trying to contain themselves.
That doesn't stop people. Why are people cheating in business? Why are people using fraud and so on? Why has that happened? Are we living in a civilized society? Why are people doing that?
In a civilized society, you get pockets of illegality all the time.
Do people not murder people here?
Yes, they do.
So it is possible in our great civilized society that people murder people, rob people, and so on. Then why is it that
Israel should use Canada as a model? Is that what you say?
Well, that is the view. Why are we told
that? Well, don't
that,
you realize well, that?
So do you
know what it would mean, that Greg? It would mean it would be civil war from the moment that was created.
I don't think so.
Because the bottom line is that these people don't want Jews in the Middle East.
I don't agree with that. I just
don't agree with that premise. Then. You see, the number of times you must have visited
the
Middle
Jews
East,
here?
And you've done all your investigations, your investigative journalist, you must realize that that's the case.
You don't know that. I mean, you are hilarious. How do you know? Have you ever been there?
Journalist.
Have you ever seen the hostility of these of the Arabs towards the Jews? Have you ever visited Gaza, which I have done, or Israel, which I have done, or Jordan, which I have done?
If you had, no, I haven't. But the thing is that if people who have been suppressed and humiliated for long periods of time, are you expecting them to like the people that are doing that?
But I agree with you. It's a dreadful problem with humanitarianism, and I agree. I'm very sympathetic towards them.
Oh, you are. Well, what do you want done with them then?
I want them to learn to live civilly. You know, you keep on talking about how much money is piled in.
You're so silly.
But listen to the rationale. All you can say is you're so silly.
Well, what about
all the money that's been piled into Israel, you keep on harping about.
Yeah.
Equal amounts of money, in fact, a lot more money, hear me clearly, has been piled into the Palestinian Authority.
What, from donors' conferences?
With what view? With trying to get the economy going, trying to develop a life which is more acceptable and living conditions which are tolerable. And all they've done is squander all that money on arms and weapons and the inculcation of this ridiculous culture of hate amongst their children.
Oh, come on. I'm not going to put up with that anymore. Okay, I got rid of the moron, man. It's this whole idea. He's using this as a soapbox to get up and say that certain people are hateful and others aren't. That certain groups of people have hate in their blood, have hate in their mind, and others just want peace. And it's a disgraceful commentary, really, on what's going on. And it's typical Good Morning Moron Man material, but it's dull after a while. I think I gave him enough time. He would go on forever saying, "We just want, the Israelis just want peace. That's all they want."
No, you're right. It's good to have him on. I hope he calls in next week.
Yeah.
A couple minutes like everybody else.
Yeah.
With this obsolete, ridiculous information.
He
doesn't understand the post-information society. And those guys, the Hamas, they're arming because they're at war and they're going to be at war for 1,000 years. So that's what the battle is.
Yeah,
that's
the plan is,
so there you go.
This is not going to end anytime soon, obviously, but you're on the air. You're on the air?
Hi, I am.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Go.
Okay, so my name's Jack. The reason I'm calling is I found that last conversation rather interesting. I think there is would have been a great opportunity for an intellectual debate there. And I think the two-state system is the is an option that obviously needs to stay on the table. We can forget history because, you know, you're now in a situation where you've had a society that's been in existence since 1948, and there are clear divides. And, you know, if you do believe in democracy, then you've got to develop a solution based on democracy. Hello?
Yeah. What do you mean? What democracy is given the Palestinian people in terms of what happens in that? They don't even get to vote.
Well,
only Jews can vote, right?
Yeah. Well, in Israel, they've got in Israel there's a state of Israel set up. So Israel is the country. They set up Palestine should exist as a state. Should exist as a country, an independent country, should be recognized.
Where's the vote on that? Where's the vote on deciding whether that landmass should be a one-state solution or a two-state solution? Where's the democracy there? Do they have a vote on that?
Okay, well, they should have a vote on it.
Yeah, but why don't they? You're invoking the idea, as is often put forward in the mainstream media, that Israel is the only democracy in the region. Now we have a democracy in Iraq, of course.
No, that should be changed. I agree, that should be changed. There needs to be a democratic solution. You have two different societies living in that area. You need to bring those two societies together. I think your last caller's comments were recognized as being correct.
What do you mean they're recognized as being correct?
Well,
by whom? By whom are they
recognized
as being correct?
Okay, well, let me just...
No. By whom? By whom are they?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Respond to it.
Go ahead.
Okay. So they're recognized as being correct because the
By whom?
By whom?
I want to know by whom. That's my question. That's my question. Tell me by whom.
Okay. I don't remember his name, but he was on the CBC radio last week. He was a professor from Bradford University who's done a lot of studies in that
area. Agrees with it, does he?
Okay. So what I'm
saying is... That's it, is it? That guy from Bradford University is deciding he's overruling democracy in the area, is he?
I mean,
how ludicrous. You are a numbskull.
Okay, are you done?
You are censored.
Are you done? So maybe,
go ahead.
Hang on. What I'm saying is that you've got two societies in that area. You can have the pragmatic solution. Practical solution is that you try and bring those people together, which the Americans are trying to do, which shouldn't be done by the Americans. It should be driven by the United Nations because they are the recognized body for the most appropriate body for dealing with that situation.
Is Rex Murphy talking about this today on Cross Country Checkup? Because I think this is where this call needs to be.
You get
Rex Murphy agreeing with you on this. I mean, you're saying United Nations should deal with this. You know who should deal with it? The people of the region. You have the nerve to talk about democracy.
Okay. How do you bring them together? Okay, well, I'm asking
give
you
them a
the
vote.
Question. I want you to give me the solution then. What is your solution? What is your solution? How are you going to bring these people together? Those get on so well. They've got a history of just being friends. Give me a break. Look at the history. They need somebody with authority.
I don't know that there was any.
Bring them together.
All right. Some people have said. Look at Iran, for instance.
Yeah.
There's a Jewish community that lives in Iran. If you know about this. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
All right.
Know about
that. There's a small Jewish community that lives in Iran and has lived there for many centuries, I suppose.
Yep.
And they're still living there now. Now, the Asper-controlled media, the Zionist media here, tried to float a story that these people were going to be imminently slaughtered and that they were being suppressed or oppressed there in some way, that there was going to be a genocide of all of these Jews in Iran because of Ahmadinejad. Now, those people there in that community came out against the National Post, the Zionist media here, and said, "What are you trying to do? We're getting along fine here." Now, there are all these Zionists in Canada that say, you know, Jews and in this case Persians or Jews and Arabs cannot get along together. But the thing is that the question is, why are the Iranian Jews allowed to live then? Why if Ahmadinejad, as he has put forward that in the media, that he wants to eliminate Israel, and the way it's phrased, it's like he wants to blow it up with nuclear weapons, which is I don't think is what he's saying, but it's what it's implied by the media. Why is it that all the Jews aren't wiped out of Iran or other areas of the Middle East? Why is that?
What is the size of the population of that area in Iran versus the Jewish population in Israel? You're talking a practically ridiculous situation. You are not going to get the state. If they had a referendum tomorrow, let's suppose we're going to join the great Palestinian state, and we're going to have democracy in the entire region as one state. Tell me how that's going to work out. Play it through.
Well, obviously, it's a very perverted situation that has allowed to be developed, and it's been allowed to be developed by the Western nations, and it's difficult to sort it out. But I think one of the first stages would be to remove all nuclear weapons from Israel. Is to have a denuclearization of that region.
Okay, so your next.
So you don't,
play,
and then you start,
game?
And then you start disarming Israel, and disarming other people in there too, so that you take the arms away. But definitely all of the attack helicopters and so on and so forth.
Who takes the arms away?
Okay, so let's just if we entertain that idea a little bit further. So all you're talking about is just general multilateral disarmament in that area. Now, what's the population mass of the Arabs versus the Jews? You've got to make sure that you've got equitable balance when it comes to forces. And
so
I don't think that's not going to be a practical solution, is it?
Well, you're saying we've got to ship more people who are Jewish into the area to even it all out so that they'll win a vote.
No.
That's what's happening now, isn't it?
No. What you do is, I think I mean, I would
what's your stake in this? What's
the answer?
What's your interest in this? What is your particular interest in this?
My interest in this is I would, you know what? It would be nice if there was some serious and reasonable debate on this, logical debate that works towards a solution. And I think you know, radio programs are just one avenue that people at least voice their opinions and direction that hopefully our political leaders could pick up.
All right, well, this is the first time you've phoned in. We've discussed this before. We'll discuss it again, I suppose, and we're nearing the end of the program, so if you want to call in again next week and discuss this, we will. I'll be more prepared, perhaps, for a discussion, but I want to ask you, how often is a one-state solution discussed in media in Canada? Have you ever heard it discussed?
Well, no, because I think the true that it's not going to be a practical solution.
Yeah, so that means there's only one discussion about one thing, a two-state solution.
Yeah, well...
So I just don't think that that's... So you've got one idea going forward. Obviously, there are other people who think differently. And if you talk about democracy, evidently you're hearing different sides. And you seem to believe in that. So I do want to say we've got lots of calls, and unfortunately we have to go. I do want to say one word of note. A month ago, I had an interview with Whitey Mitchell, Gordon Whitey Mitchell. And it was done in September, and I played it on December 28th. Mr. Mitchell died last January 17th, and I sent my condolences to his wife, Marilyn. And in a half an hour, at 11 o'clock on CJRT 91.1, his final concert, I think, definitely radio broadcast that was done here in Toronto will be played on that station, and I do encourage you to go and listen to that because it's a remarkable broadcast. I was there in attendance live, and check it out. Thanks, Bob, for being on the program, and thank you for all the callers that phoned in, including all the people even that we had conflict with. That's what the whole show's about, I guess. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Greg. No peace in our time.
Yeah. I'm going to... Now, the next host is not here, so I'm going to... I've given instructions to play a show from the past, and I'm going to go and look for that right now, and... hope that I find it. Meanwhile, I will play some, fill in with some, let's see what's up here for 10:30. I'll play this and hopefully we'll be back with a show.
The views expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated.